I want to remind you, we're in the Gospel of John. Say Gospel of John. And we're studying this life of Christ. Remember, the great part of John's narrative versus the other Gospels, remember what we said, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are revolve around Jesus' ministry in Galilee. But John's Gospel is primarily around Jerusalem. And a good portion of the book is about the last week. We pick it up today in John's Gospel, chapter 12. Turn there with me, if you will. Keep your finger there in a moment. And then we're going to read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, in just a moment. I want you to stand with me, would you? And keep your finger there. And enter in as you feel led with Pastor Killian. He's going to lead us in an old song. We'll get the gist of it at the end. But today we're going to talk about praising God. It's like a freshman class 101 and this triumphant entry Sunday, Palm Sunday. Pastor Killian, lead us in this, would you please?
When you're up against a struggle, shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears. Oh, don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord. For our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord. For the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you they drop powerless behind you when you praise Him. Now Satan is a liar, and he wants to make us think that we are paupers, when he knows himself that we're children of the King. So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ is risen, so the work's already done. Just praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord. For our God inhabits praise, praise the Lord. For the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you they drop powerless behind you when you praise Him. Sing it out. That seem to bind you serve only to remind you they drop powerless behind you when you praise Him. Oh, when you praise Him, when you praise Him, when you praise Him, when you
voice right where you stand. I want to just ask you to do this. This is what we're speaking on today. But by faith and applying the word to your life, would you just lift your hands unto Him and just praise the Lord? Just say, Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for salvation. I magnify your great name, Lord, for you are great and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, I declare your goodness, Lord. You may be seated for just about 2 minutes, and then we'll stand again for the reading of the word. Thanks, Pastor Killian. We're in Luke chapter 19, one finger there, John's Gospel chapter 12. And remember that now we begin this week. If you look at the beginning of chapter 12, you'll see that it declares this is 6 days before the Passover, that we're right on the line for the final act, the final episode of Christ's life before the cross. And it's the Passover season. Say Passover. Which is always corresponds in, from the Jewish calendar to our resurrection or Easter calendar, if you will. It was a particularly sacred season for the Jewish people. During this time of Passover, thousands of people would flock to Jerusalem, the city of the king. And they would worship there. They would celebrate there. It was required that every male under within 20 miles had to come to Jerusalem. And yet there were thousands of people that would come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. They would make that journey. Scholars will tell you that at that time there would literally be several hundred thousand people that would flock to this city of Jerusalem to celebrate. And as Passover approaches, Jesus and his disciples are preparing to go into Jerusalem. And at this portion of scripture, Jesus is at the pinnacle of his ministry. His popularity has never been higher. For the last 3 years, they've been seeing Jesus preach and Jesus teach and cast demons out and heal the sick. And a matter of fact, just days before, you remember because we've been in the series, one of the I am statements that he is the resurrection and the life. Jesus healed his good friend Lazarus from death, brought him to life, if you will, and raised him from the dead. Word of him was spreading of Jesus like wildfire, but also about Lazarus. And now the people have come to Jerusalem, those from the outlying lands, to see the person of Jesus, this new prophet that they've heard all the word about. And Jesus staged his entry into Jerusalem in this dramatic fashion that we'll read about today. He sits on a young donkey and he rode through the streets of Jerusalem. People took off their coats, as Rhonda talked about, waved their palm branches, cried out, Hosanna, the Lord saves, is what Hosanna means. And it wasn't insignificant because this had been prophesied hundreds of years earlier by a small prophet by the name of Zechariah. Zechariah 9:9, you see it on the screen. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you. Righteous and victorious, lowly, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And as Jesus enters, a large crowd's gathered. Some, like we said, they're spreading their coats, their palm branches are being waved. And we look at this scripture today with light, saying, Lord, help us to understand that season, that day, more than ever before. Would you stand with me for the reading of the word? I'm picking up at John's Gospel, chapter 12 and verse 12. We'll read 8 verses there, and then we'll double back to Luke's account, if you will. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna. Why don't we say Hosanna? Hosanna. Shout it, Hosanna. 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 Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon him. As it is written, do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Look back now at Luke's gospel, would you? Luke chapter 19. If you take your church Bible, it's page 1632. And look with me. Back up, if you will, to verse number 35. Speaking of the donkey, the colt, look what it says. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, Jesus spread their cloaks on the road. People spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God. Say, joyfully to praise. In loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Lord, I pray your word would be anointed today. People didn't come to hear Brad Trask give some expose. They came to hear a word from you. So, Lord, in these next few moments, if you can't speak through me, speak in spite of me to these people that you and I love today. On this Palm Sunday, this triumphant entry Sunday, I pray that the glorious praise of your people might be lifted up to you. I ask, Lord, that you just do a new work in our hearts and our lives. And Lord, may we become on this Palm Sunday greater, because I know there's some that already praise you, Lord, but may we all become people that are greater people of praise unto the living God. And Lord, we thank you in advance for what you're going to accomplish. And all God's people would say amen. Amen. You may be seated. There's a number of ways that you've heard pastors speak on Palm Sunday, or if you've been a part of our church for any length of time. We could talk to you about how Jesus wept over the city on that Palm Sunday. He wept, and we could look at what he was weeping over and how we ought to weep over our cities and over our nation. We could talk to you about some of Jesus' great teaching that took place in that season, how he taught the parable of the talents, and he went through a huge list of great stories. We could talk about that word Hosanna, how it means the Lord saves, and how he saved us from our sins, but what else does he save us from? We could look at some of those parables, like the great banquet, or the parable of the talents, or the parable of the virgins. And we could look at the Last Supper, and we could identify, you know what, Jesus betrayed him, Peter denied him, Jesus asked for that cup to be taken away from him in Gethsemane. So many ways that we could approach, but I want us to clue in, if you will, on one passage of Scripture today from this triumphant entry message, Palm Sunday message. It's right there in verses 39 and 40. The word declares that Jesus said, if they don't praise me, if they are kept quiet, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Today on this Palm Sunday, I want to talk to you about praise 101. I want to just speak to you about how praise ought to be part of our everyday life. Daily, we ought to be people that praise the Lord. Honestly, I know that you and I recognize we're supposed to praise God. Praise is to be an integral part of our Christian lives. But many Christians, sadly, have never developed the discipline or developed the privilege of praise. They haven't let it become a daily experience in their personal lives. Some people view praise as the first 20 minutes of the service or 25 minutes on a Sunday morning when the band sounds good, Pastor Brad and Carrie and Julia lead us into God's presence, but that's good for the rest of the week. Can I just say to you, praise, what happens on Sunday, it's just a small fraction of how praise ought to affect our everyday lives. In fact, I've noticed that in my life, If I'm not engaged in praise the other 6 days of the week, I have a harder time praising the Lord on Sunday mornings. You need to realize, Brighton Assembly, there is a power in praise. In Acts chapter 16, there's two apostles by the name of Paul and Silas. They're in jail. They're in a Philippian prison. And the fact is, they begin to sing unto the Lord, and the chains literally fall off, and that place is shaken, and things happen as they praise the Lord. And I would submit to you, God, the key is for our lives. If you miss anything else I say today, don't miss this. Praise is the key to unlock the powers of God in your life. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, there's a great story. There's a king named Jehoshaphat. And he leads the children of Judah. There's the split kingdom. Israel's the north, Judah's the south. Good way to remember it is there were no good kings from the north, but there were some good kings from the south. Jehoshaphat was one of those good kings. Jehoshaphat is told, you know what, when he's facing an alliance of an army that is much bigger than the children of Judah, and they're going to face ultimate defeat if they don't have a miracle. The fact is, God speaks to Jehoshaphat, not to worry, King Jehoshaphat. This battle belongs to me, and I'm going to give you the victory. And then he's instructed, lead the worshipers, the people of praise, out in the front. It was totally counterintuitive. You would think that the biggest, baddest men would lead out in front with the greatest weaponry. But God said, no, send the worshipers out in front and lift up a voice of praise, and I will give you the victory. Jehoshaphat and his army never had to fire a shot. They just praised God every step of the way, and God gave them the victory. When the word came that they were about to be attacked, they praised the Lord. As they approached the battlefield, they marched together, they praised the Lord. And after God gave them the victory, they gathered. Do you know where they gathered? In the Valley of Blessing. There's a blessing after you praise. They gathered in the Valley of Blessing to praise the Lord and then returned to Jerusalem praising the Lord still. Brighton AG, there's power in praise. Amen. There's power in praise. I think most of you would agree with that. However, many of you would say, if you were totally gut level honest, Pastor, I'm total agreement with you. I believe there's power in praise. I just really don't know how to go about it. I don't know what to do or say or what do I proclaim. It kind of sounds like when I try and praise, it sounds like insincere flattery that I give to God. It feels like I'm going through some motions. I believe in praise. I just don't know how to do it. You're in the right place. You're watching from the right motive. Today, if you're watching online, and that's where I want to say, I can just tell you, I think I understand where you're coming from. I felt the same way Ron and I have in our lives. I've wondered the same thing. You know what? But the fact is, how do I ask myself and have asked the Lord, how do I make biblical praise part of my practical everyday life? And that's where we come to this morning on Palm Sunday. It's a 101 course, a freshman level course, but it'll get you to graduate school regarding your life of praise. And I want to cover just two major points today. First off, I want you to look with me at the pattern. Say pattern. Pattern. The pattern of praise. The way that you do that. How do you do this? Have a pattern. Then we'll look at the practice in a moment. But what is the pattern of praise? I would submit to you. Make praise a part of your everyday life. David says in Psalm 145, he says, every day I will praise you. Say every day.
Every day.
Praise isn't just a once a week thing. It's a daily activity. It's not something we do only when, you know what, we feel up to it, we're in the right mood. the algorithms of our life feel right, if you will. It's not something we have to give a whole lot of thought, or we do when we think about it and make a conscious decision. It's a daily discipline, a daily habit in our lives. So I'm encouraging you to make praise a priority in your life. I love the way Psalm 115 states it in the King James. We will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. It's like the psalmist is saying, if you haven't given God sufficient praise in your past, if you haven't been consistent in your praise in the past or the present, you can start today, April 10th, 2022, and from this time forward, you can be a person that will bless his name. Decide now. Decide now to make praise a daily part of your life. You can make it a discipline, a habit in your life. Secondly, I want you to see this. Not only just make it a daily part of your life, but exercise praise outside of your prayer closet. Have you ever talked to somebody and you feel like you're being buttered up for an ask? You know, so you're trying a coat on at the store. Oh, boy, that looks great on you. You better get that. Eleanor and Eli have learned that works pretty good on dad and mom. You know, Eli, when he wants to buy a new video game, he'll walk up and say, Dad, do you like to play on ships? Dad, do you like to study history? Yes, I do, Eli. I know you do. Would you like to purchase this right now? And all the while, I know I'm being suckered for an ask somewhere along the line. And you know what? In our lives, we go through that at a fleshly level. If somebody's trying to sell us something or get us to purchase, we feel like, you know what, we're being buttered up. But I don't get bent out of shape, quite honestly, because, you know what, many times I think I've tried to live that way even in my prayer life, to be honest. Totally transparent. You know what, I come to the Lord and my praise is just the section of my prayer life that I've got to get through so I can list all the things that I want. Just being honest with you today. When I look at praise outside of my prayer closet, it's not something that I just got to get through in a periodic fashion to get to my intercessory needs or my petitions. This is something that I can live in. It's something where, you know what, yes, I'll bring my wants and my needs to the Lord because I've got a lot of them. You do too. But the fact is, you know what, before the Lord wants us to ask about our requests for our life or our family, our ministry, finances, and on the list could go, the fact is in our lives, he wants us just to spend time in his presence and praise him. And the list could go on of what we could ask for. But can I challenge you? Instead of just starting your day with a long list of requests, consider just in your personal life, just offering praise and worship and adoration and thanksgiving unto the Lord. And then wait until the middle of the day or the end of the day to offer your prayer list unto the Lord. I would submit to you, this way it's going to be easier to pass the day focused on praise. Just spend the beginning of your day praising the Lord, and it's outside of your prayer closet. Just take moments here and there during the day. Whenever he comes to your mind or you have the opportunity to give God praise, make praise a daily part of your life and then extend it outside of your prayer closet. Would you say amen?
Amen?
Thirdly, put praise at the top of your to-do list. I like what a preacher friend of mine, Jamie, said. He said, there's really two types of people in life. How many of you know that? How many of you are morning people? Amen. Lift your hand. You wake up and you're ready to go. I mean, you put your feet on the ground and you start to look right away. How many are morning people? How many of you are people that are not morning people, but you want to kill morning people? You just lift your hand. I mean, you get started a little bit slower, and you know what? You've got to have that cup of coffee, and there might even be a little bit of crankiness in your life, but you're okay once you get the cup of coffee. Now I want to ask a third question. How many of you married the opposite? Yeah, that's why you have issues. I'm just telling you that. You got to work through some things. And maybe you're like the person who said, you know what, I'm not an evening person, or I'm not a morning person, or I'm an evening person, but I've been required to be a morning person, or vice versa. You might not be a morning person, but I want to challenge you. That's okay. But each day, as soon as you can piece together thoughts in a coherent manner, would you spend time in God's presence? That's exactly what Jesus did. The Bible says in Mark's gospel, very early, say very early. In the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. In the book of 1 Chronicles, we read about the responsibilities of the priesthood, the Levites. The word says they were also to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord. Psalm 63:1, oh God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. It's interesting, other translations say, not early will I seek thee, but earnestly will I seek thee. And you might say, well, is it early or is it earnestly? It's interesting, the Hebrew word, if you study it, both meanings are appropriate. That means if we get up early in a sincere way, an earnest way, we ought to praise him. And when we're earnest, it also ought to be early in the day that we praise the Lord. As early as possible, would you get into the presence of God? Just make it a habit, not just on a Sunday. Make it a daily discipline. This is the pattern of praise. So I want you to put it into practice in the next few minutes. The practice of praise, 101. How do you implement praise into your daily life? I would say this, right? Praise begins with your attitude. It begins with my attitude. First and foremost, I want you to understand, praise is first and foremost an attitude, is a part of our lives. Praise isn't a feeling. Praise is an attitude. And there's a huge difference. Some people think, well, you know what, Pastor? If I don't feel up to it, if I don't feel ebullient or bubbly or ecstatic or giddy in my life, you know what? Then my praise is insincere. I don't want to be a hypocrite. And so if I'm not feeling it, I'm not saying it. I've had people tell me, you know, I didn't go to church last week because I wasn't feeling in a spiritual mood. I've had people say, you know what? I didn't get anything out of the praise and worship today because I just didn't have a praise-filled heart today. One of the biggest mistakes that we can make as disciples of Jesus is that, you know what? We instruct or we live as people, followers of Christ, and give people the impression, you know what, that praise is supposed to always feel good. And the value of our praise isn't measured based upon our good feelings we have when we praise. Now, that's counterintuitive to how some of you feel. Now, here's the fact. Praise isn't about your feelings. It's about giving glory to God. You may say, but I don't feel good when I want to feel good when I praise him. And you might say, I do feel good most of the time when I praise him. You will feel good most of the time when you praise him. But whether you feel good or not is not the important point. Just the attitude, I'm going to praise him because he's worthy, is the attitude we ought to have. Yes, you will many times feel good. Maybe even 95% of the time. But if you only praise God when you feel good, you're not praising God the right way and you're not praising him enough. Because sometimes you won't feel like it. Developing a lifestyle of praise means that you praise God when you feel good and when you don't. You praise God regardless of your feelings. You understand that praise isn't about my feelings. It's about my attitude and giving glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know what? You that are parents and grandparents, you've tried to teach your kids, your children, that principle. When you ask that child to do something, you know what? And they don't want to do it. They object by saying, you know what? I don't want to do that. I don't feel like it, mom or dad. It's not fun. What do you say? Sorry about the intrusion into your life. I'll never ask you to do that again. You know, you don't do that, right? You say, you know what? I know you might not want to do this right now, but you need to do it anyway. And you need to do it with a good attitude. And how many times as a parent did you feel good and proud and grateful for that child's attitude when the child went about to do something that they didn't really enjoy to do at the time, but they did it nonetheless and did it with a good attitude in the right way? That's the attitude. The attitude, more than anything, is the attitude that pleases a parent. How much more in our lives is God's children? In a similar way, is God worthy of praise? God knows how you feel. If you don't feel up to it, he still knows how you feel, right? He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows what you're going through right now. God knows when you wake up cranky. He knows when you don't feel excited inside. And when you say in these moments, God, regardless of how I feel, I'm going to come before you with an attitude of praise, this especially blesses the Lord. So praise him first and foremost, above all else, with an attitude that knows that he's worthy. Learning this distinction, would you please? When I recognize this in my personal life, that, you know what, it wasn't about how I felt, it was just about how he was worthy to be praised. It gave me a greater freedom in my life. I stopped feeling like I had to stir up emotions. I stopped feeling that my praise in those moments was ineffective. I stopped gauging the value of my praise according to the intensity of my feelings. I learned to come before God with an attitude that says, God, you are God, and you are worthy of my praise. The paradox is this. When I stopped worrying about how I felt, my feelings, in a great part, were right behind the attitude of praise given unto the Lord. I felt great because I praised the Lord regardless of how I felt. Amen. The truth is, right, on most days, we're going to feel like praising the Lord. But the days that we don't, and whether we feel like it or not, this will make the difference in your walk with Christ. To praise him because he's worthy to be praised. It begins with my attitude. Secondly, praise is expressed in my words. Praise is not only expressed with my attitude, but it's expressed with my verbiage. The words that I say and the words that I sing and the voice that I lift to the Lord. When you read the Psalms, notice this, Brian, that you see that praise, say praise. Praise. Say nice and loud, praise. And thanksgiving, say thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving are closely connected. We know Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Psalm 92. It is a good thing to give thanks, say thanks. Say nice loud, thanks. Thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name. Praise and thanksgiving go hand in hand. You and I begin with thanks. It brings you into, through his gates, but to go into his courts, into the closer walk, you become a person of praise. Have you ever been around people that just aren't thankful? How disappoint you. I was traveling to a Convoy of Hope board meeting this past week. And Delta and those smaller jets, they don't have enough room in the overhead to put your carry-on luggage, so you check it at the as you just before you enter the plane. They put a pink tag, they call it pink tagging, and then when you get off, they put it in this big cargo bin, and they lift up a gate, and you can get your bag. So when we arrived in Springfield, I went to get my bag with about 20, 25 other people. And the attendant, interestingly enough, just punched the button, the door opened up, and here were all these bags. And usually the attendant will help take the bags off, but this attendant wasn't in the mood or something, and just opened the gate and took off. And I'm sitting there, and everybody's just standing around. And so I just start taking the bags off, and I'm putting them down and taking them down. And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. I'm going somewhere with this. You know, I'm taking the bags down. And out of about 25 people, can I tell you, I got two thank yous. You know, people just grabbed their bag. Wish you would have hurried up there. I mean, couldn't you do it any faster? I mean, they could tell I was a customer too. And I felt like the Spirit of God said, Brad, you got about the same percentage I did. Remember? One out of the 10 lepers came back and said, thank you. But how much more should we, as God's children, be people that come into the presence of God thanking and praising Him? How many of you can say today, the Lord's been good to you? So thank Him today. Thank Him for today. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank Him for your health. Some of you have had some close calls. The Lord's touched your body. Thank Him for the healing. Thank Him for your friends. Thank Him for your job. Thank Him for your home. Thank Him for your employment. Thank Him for your family. Thank Him for answered prayers in the past. Thank Him when the prayers were answered for a friend that you were praying for. Thank Him for the Word of God. Thank Him for Bible teachers. Thank Him for pastors. Thank Him for music. Thank Him for the weather. Thank Him that, you know what? You are alive and you can lift up a voice of praise because He is worthy. When you begin with thankfulness, praise becomes the logical next step. Your gratitude opens up your eyes to the goodness of God. And then when you understand how He's blessed you, it leads right to a spirit from thanksgiving to praise and adoration. When you praise God with your words, what specific words should you use, you might ask? Can I just say, praise Him for His goodness. Look at those things He's done. Thank Him for His provision. Praise Him for His provision. Praise Him for His faithfulness. Everything I thanked You for earlier, Lord, I'm praising You for today, because every good thing in my life has come down from You because of Your goodness. And so, Lord, I'm going to praise You. Sometimes I read the psalm out loud or a passage of scripture out loud, and I just let that get into my spirit. Sometimes I'll take a hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is My God, or On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand, and I'll praise Him by just lifting up a voice of thanksgiving and praise unto Him. You also praise God with your words when you sing and when you speak from time to time. When you get in the car, instead of turning on the radio immediately, just begin to sing a praise unto the Lord. Then up your game. Sing it a little louder. Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder. He's worthy to be praised. Praise begins with my attitude. Praise is expressed in my words. Thirdly and finally, praise often involves physical actions. We also see this in the song book of the Bible, the Psalms. Praise is expressed through our actions. Specifically, David talks about clapping our hands, playing music, dancing before the Lord, lifting up hands in praise. Look what the word says, Psalm 150. Praise Him with tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and flute. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with the resounding cymbals. Look at the psalmist said, 47. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Psalm 63. I will praise You as long as I live, and in Your name I will lift up my hands. Brighton AG, as the worship team comes back. There's a physical element. There's a physical posture of praise. God is pleased when we clap our hands, when we lift our hands, even when we dance before the Lord. Now, I get it. In your life, you know what? You might say, I don't feel like doing any of those things in public, Pastor. Certainly not a worship service. And I get that. It's understandable. But I would submit to you, in the privacy of your room, when there's no one but you and the Lord Almighty, you don't have to worry about drawing attention to yourself or feeling out of place or creating a distraction. There's a demonstrative element within our lives that ought to carry over into our praise. It's like an athlete when they score a long-range hoop to win a game. They're jumping all around. You know what? You and I, we've been saved by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There ought to be a demonstrative effect in our life. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. But here's the principle I like. I never really felt comfortable raising my hands in public until when I developed the habit or the discipline in my private worship. Today, you know what? I don't even think twice. I just lift my hands unto the Lord. He's worthy. And that's because in a conscious decision I've made in my private life, I'm developing that habit individually with the Lord, and so I feel comfortable doing it publicly. And so this is what I would state. And it's an important aspect of praise. Our public expression, say public, our public expression can be an extension of our private worship. For me, the real praise that takes place in my life, I love Pastor BK. I love what happens here on Sunday. I love coming together with the people of God. But can I tell you, that's not the primary praise time in my life. It's the praise time that I spend individually with the Lord. And that's why when I come together with God's people, it just feels like another level because I've nurtured that in my personal life. Look what the Apostle Peter said. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful life. He's saying that you and I, right, look here a second. Don't let me lose you at the end. You and I were created for praise. Oh, thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Some translations state that in the psalmist, he sits enthroned on the praises of Israel. You know what? It's still true today. God lives in the praises of his people. Our praise is what enthrones God into our lives. That's why I said it earlier. Praise is the key that unlocks God's doors for our lives and unlocks the potential in our lives when we praise him. Because when we praise God, he shows up. We saw it there. I referenced it. Acts 16. Paul and Silas, they're loosed from the prison. Why? Because God inhabits the praises of his people. So if you're like me, and I think most of you are, if not all, you need God's presence for more than just an hour and a half on a Sunday morning. You need him every hour of your life. Do you know how you get there? You get into his presence by developing a pattern and the practice of praise in your personal life. The old-time preacher Smith Wigglesworth said it like this. Praise is God's sunlight in the heart. It destroys sin germs. It ripens the fruits of the Spirit. It's the oil of gladness that lubricates life's activities. There can be no holy life without it. It keeps the heart pure and the eye clear. Praise is essential to the knowledge of God and his will. And so my prayer for you is, Brighton, that you and I would become people of praise. Psalm 115. forth and forevermore. How many of you know it's not an endless song service in heaven, but you and I, our praise is going to be given to the Lord now and forever. Say amen. Amen. Would you stand with me? Now here's the deal, Brighton. If we don't, the word says even the rocks would be. I don't want any piece of slag or marble or even fine diamonds to take my place. I want to praise the Lord. You were created for praise. And we're going to close this triumphant entry Sunday just a little bit different. The next few minutes. But I want to set this up. I want you to see if you don't recognize the song. And we're going to watch a video that'll last 2 minutes. When I was at the Convoy of Hope board meeting this past week, there was a man that's in charge of communications for Convoy. His name is Roger Flessing. He used to work for PTL and CBN. He's a great guy. Convoy is right on the border of Poland and other countries around the Ukraine, ministering to these refugees. 40 cargo loads are being sent overseas. Some have already arrived, and we've fed more than 125,000 meals already. Thank you for your giving. But Roger was sent to video some of this. And I don't know if the leadership of Convoy of Hope appreciated it or not, but while he was there, he decided and he called and he said, you know what, we're going to go into the Ukraine. And one of the cities that you've heard about is Lviv, L-V-I-V. It's about 70 miles inland from Poland east into the Ukraine. And what you're going to see is a service on a Sunday morning, March 27th, 2 weeks ago today. And when I sat next to Roger at a meal for the board this past week, I said, Roger, I want that video. And I want you to watch this. Bring down the lights with me, would you please? Roger and the convoy team, along with many of those people, were in a bomb shelter because the city was bombed by the Russians. But what you don't know, and I saw the full video, the church was full the next morning. And this is the choir singing unto the Lord, even amidst that. That night, the 27th, the sirens went off again, and the city was bombed again. I'm not trying to project on anything. I'm just being transparent. I said, Lord, please forgive me when I've made praise a convenience. If some people in the midst of their lives being in danger can show up to church to lift up the name of the Lord, forgive me when I've ever complained, Lord. You're here today. You've never surrendered your life to Jesus. We'd like to lead you in a prayer that'll ask the Lord to become the Lord of your life, and he'll forgive you of your sins. John and Nancy will lead you in a prayer. You can join us at the front and just say, Pastor, that's me. If you're watching online, go to that link that we're showing to you right now, brightenag.org/next.